Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Amen. I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay my respects to elders past and present. It is a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk Noongar country. I formally declare this meeting of the City of Perth open. Are there any apologies?
Yes, Deputy Chair Commissioner. Chair Commissioner Hammond is an apology.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Moving to item four, are there any questions from the public?
Yes, Deputy Chair Commissioner. I've received one from Mr. Paul Turner, who I understand is in the audience, and the question relates to, and I think he would like to address the Chair, but it relates to the homelessness sector.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to congratulate the council since I came on the 26th of March doing more for the homeless, and a lot of things have been put in place with the City of Perth and Foundation Housing, a number of agencies. I just want to congratulate the council making it public in the City of Perth more aware and doing more, getting agencies to help the homeless in the City of Perth. That's about it. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We very much appreciate that feedback. Yeah. And homelessness is the top of our agenda as commissioners, and it's a delight to be working with both state government and the community sector to address this urgent issue. So thank you for the feedback. It's very much appreciated on behalf of the staff.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Mr. CEO, are there any deputations?
Yes, Deputy Chair Commissioner. I'm not sure if there were any other questions from the gallery or the floor.
Thank you very much for that reminder. Are there any further questions? Oh.
Am I able to make a comment on anything?
You can ask a question, but I think if you craft it carefully, then you could comment as well. But okay, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Yes, Glenn Morgan. I'm a ratepayer. And my constant bane is the condition of the water fountains in both Murray Street and Hay Street Mall. They're always dirty. Half of them don't work, and those that do work dribble out little bits of water. And it's not a very good advertisement for our tourists and people who want to use this amenity, particularly given that we live in such a harsh, hot environment. And the condition of these water fountains has been that way for years. So I'm just wondering if somebody could take note and perhaps have a go at getting those fixed. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for drawing that to our attention. I'll refer that to the CEO for action. Any further questions? If not, thank you. And we'll now officially close the question time. Are there any deputations, Mr. CEO?
Yes, Deputy Chair Commissioner, a deputation has been received from Mr. Paul Kotsoglou from Planning Solutions in relation to item 13.1, which is 1060 or lot 100 Hay Street, West Perth, and it's regarding a proposed LED roof sign displaying variable third-party advertising content and plant room additions to the existing office building. And if I could, Deputy Chair, I just want to, for the public record, indicate that I used to work some, I think, 20-odd years or more ago with Mr. Kotsoglou, but other than that, I don't have any business or ongoing relationship.
Thank you. We'll take that deputation at the time of addressing the item shortly. In a moment's time. Thank you. Members on leave of absence and applications for leave of absence, Mr. CEO?
No, Deputy Chair Commissioner.
Thank you. I'd now like to turn to item 6, the confirmation of the minutes. Would somebody so move, please? Thank you, Commissioner. And I'm happy to second from the Chair. All those in favour? Nil against. The motion's carried for the confirmation of minutes held on the 27th of August 2019 as a true and correct record of the meeting. Item 7 relates to announcements by the Chair Commissioner. As the presiding member, I would like to make a short announcement, and it relates to homelessness. I was pleased to have the honour of representing the City of Perth last week in Canberra on the 18th and 19th of September, joining the Council of Capital City Lord Mayors. We met with the sole function of speaking to a number of ministers and senators, as well as their equivalent opposition members. We met with Senator the Honourable Anne Ruston, who's the Minister for Families and Social Services, the Honourable Luke Howarth, MP, the Assistant Minister for Community Housing, Homelessness and Community Services, and the Honourable Mike Suka, MP, the Assistant Treasurer, Minister for Housing. We also met with the Shadow Minister for Climate Change and Energy, Mr. Mark Butler, the Shadow Minister for Cities and Urban Infrastructure, Mr. Andrew Giles, and the Minister for Population, Cities and Urban Infrastructure, Alan Tudge, and the Minister for Regional Services, Decentralisation and Local Government, Mr. Mark Colton, as well as a number of other people who are focused on homelessness. The purpose of this meeting of the Council of Capital City Lord Mayors was directly around homelessness, and in order to bring to the attention of the Commonwealth Government and the opposition that homelessness in Australia is at a critical point, and the reason being is very complex, but our capital cities actually experience the highest rate of homelessness in the country. That the challenge of homelessness in capital cities is across Australia. All capital cities are experiencing the symptoms of homelessness and have agreed that Australia's housing system is failing our communities most vulnerable. Specialist homeless services are not able to meet the demand. Pathways into homelessness is varied and complex, and that all levels of government, local, state, and Commonwealth, need to prioritise addressing the critical shortage of housing which is resulting in homelessness, especially rough sleeping in our cities. All capital city Lord Mayors agreed that this is a very complex situation, but the real funding into this area of affordable and social housing and support in real terms has declined over many years, and this was a request that this be put on the agenda in order to support local governments and the communities in which we all represent to address this issue. I personally found it a very uplifting meeting because I think that there is a real possibility now of attracting greater Commonwealth funding in order to support state government and local government in addressing this issue. I also attended a meeting in Sydney, and that was around a long-term solution called Common Ground Sydney. This is a service to the most complex and critical rough sleepers run by Mission Australia in highly supported housing. This common ground model is effective elsewhere in Australia, and unfortunately Perth is one of the few cities that doesn't have a common ground model of highly supported social housing, but it is an international model that works well, and so the city is delighted to be working with state government and with hopefully others in the sector to to hopefully raise money, identify land and attract ongoing funding from the state government to help address the issue of homelessness in our city. Thank you. I'd now like to move to the disclosure of members' interests. Does any commissioner or employee wish to disclose an interest and its nature in any of the items contained in the agenda? Commissioner Kosovo, you have an interest to disclose.
Yes, that's right, Deputy Chair. Commissioner, in relation to item 13.1, the proposed LED sign that Mr. Kotsoglo, I understand, will be presenting a deputation on. The nature of that interest is an impartiality interest. Through my consultancy business, I have a client that I'm assisting with preparing an application for approval for an LED variable message board elsewhere in the metropolitan area.
Thank you, Commissioner. But for clarity, it does not in any way relate to this proposal?
That is correct. Not in any way, shape or form.
Thank
they
you.
Just happen to both be digital message
signs.
Board signs.
Okay. Thank you very much. I've also noted the CEO. So this has been evaluated as insignificant, and on that basis I understand that you'll be able to participate in the consideration of the deposition and the decision made by Council tonight. Thank you. Questions by members, of which due notice has been given, Mr. CEO?
There are none, Deputy Chair, Commissioner.
And I'm sure lots of correspondence has been received, but is there any that you'd like to draw to our attention tonight?
No, Deputy Chair, Commissioner.
Item 11 relates to petitions. Have any petitions been received by the City?
No, Deputy Chair, Commissioner.
And are there any matters for which the meeting may be closed, item 12?
There are none recommended, Deputy Chair, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Now, moving to the reports. We have an on-bloc motion. Would somebody move the on-bloc motion, please, that with the exception of items 13.1, to which her deputation has been received, 13.4, 13.6, 13.7, 13.9, of which a revised officer recommendation has been made, 13.12 and 13.13, of which there's a late report. These items, which are to be considered separately, the officer recommendations for the remaining option items, 13.2, 13.3, 13.5, 13.8, 13.10 and 13.11, be adopted by Council en bloc. Do I have a mover? Thank you, Commissioner, and I'm happy to second from the Chair. Is there any discussion on those items? If not, I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, and by a show of hands, nil against, the motion is carried. So for the benefit of the public gallery, these items have been identified and have been passed as per the officer recommendation contained in the agenda. You're welcome to stay or leave the chamber to observe the rest of the meeting. We'll move to agenda item 13.1. We have a deputation received from Mr. Paul Kotsoglo from Planning Solutions. Will we hear from that deposition first?
Yes.
So if you'd like to come forward, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Deputy Chair, Commissioner, Commissioner Kosova, officers, ladies and gentlemen, my name's Paul Kotsoglo. I'm Managing Director of Planning Solutions. As you've said, I'm here in relation to item 13.1, proposed LED roof sign plant room additions at 1060 Hay Street, West Perth. A briefing note was sent to the Commissioners yesterday. I'd like to confirm that that was received. Thank you. It had some attachments to it. We've worked with the City's officers and, of course, on this occasion, we don't support the recommendation for refusal. Our submissions to the City have addressed the reasons for refusal that are before you today. Our planning report, which is 19 pages of submission and a traffic report, 10 pages of submission, which was prepared by KCTT traffic engineers, have addressed the reasons for refusal before you today. And I'd like to just clarify that the submissions, because I'm under the impression the submissions were not part of the agenda because it impacts the way that I make my presentation. They were not contained in the agenda as far as I could see. The planning solution submission and the KCTT traffic report were not part of the agenda that I was able to review.
So in the agenda, there is the recommendation and the attachment, which is the plan, but no specific.
The report goes to approximately 20 pages, the planning solutions report, which addresses the planning considerations. And that wasn't, as far as I could see, part of the submission. So I won't labour that issue, but what I will say is, based on my understanding, it wasn't contained in the report, it wasn't contained in the briefing session that I also attended. It would have enabled commissioners to have a more thorough understanding of the issues and the way that we considered the matters that are in the scheme and the policies to be addressed, and would have enabled the commissioners to determine the matter in a slightly different manner than is before you this evening.
So in the interests of ensuring all salient facts are considered, I'd invite you to outline any particular points that you felt were contained in that report that have not been reflected in the papers that have come before Council.
Yes, and I'd anticipated that might, well, if they haven't been. As you'd understand, it's a little challenging to summarise that 30 pages in a 3-minute presentation, but, and I'll proceed.
I don't think we're under a time pressure. Do I need to make a formal motion to provide a longer period of time for the deputation?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll continue.
Please
Thank you.
Please proceed.
To take the report that we presented and ask the commissioners to make a decision in support of the application, I've distilled the key and salient points as follows. The proposal is consistent with the principles of orderly and proper planning, as it does meet, in my view and the view of our staff, which you would in some respects expect. It adds vibrancy and interest and amenity to the city. It has no adverse impact on road safety or the amenity of the surrounding area. It's consistent with the relevant policy objectives of the city's scheme and signage policy. And it is similar to 3 existing and approved signs in close proximity, including one at 267 St George's Terrace. And importantly, the issues that surround those matters and their consideration have been discussed in detail in the submission that we've presented. We also say that we've included, with some modification to attachment 13D from the briefing session report, a plan which shows an approved sign that was in fact recommended for refusal by the city's officers but granted approval by the commissioners in October 2018. We go through in our briefing note that you've received and the report that we've presented, the submission we've presented, demonstrate how the proposal is consistent with orderly and proper planning. We've presented a sightline plan, a vehicle sightline plan. One of the main issues that was raised was the concern about traffic management safety and the safety of vehicles moving through the area. I'll point out that the sign at 267 St George's Terrace is of an identical size and shape. It's located on the roof of a four-storey commercial building adjacent to the freeway in a very similar location, just pointing the other direction. It will be visible to motorists moving along the freeway in the same way that the sign at 267 St George's Terrace is visible. The sign and the key viewpoints is clearly positioned so as not to impact merging vehicles. If you look closely at the plan, the vehicle, and I travel this route every morning to the city from my home, and I've paid particularly close attention to this. It's not in the area, the prime visibility area is not in the area where the merging occurs, and I've paid attention to that. The approval for number 190 Aberdeen Street was approved last year. Importantly, the circumstances are similar. It's located outside the policy area where large variable content signs are encouraged. Importantly, that means they can be approved and the commissioners have approved them. It hasn't simply been a historic legacy of history that's seen this approved. It's happened in recent time. It is clearly visible to the freeway. The approved sign on Aberdeen Street was also recommended for refusal, as I've mentioned, and it was one of the grounds recognised as adding vibrancy and amenity to the city. That's an important point because there are considerations that the signage policy requires to be considered. In the briefing note that was sent out yesterday, there was a mention of the a date in November, the 18th of October, I mean, the 18th of October. It was the Commissioner's meeting of the 30th of October. It was the Design Advisory Committee, which was the 18th. So I say that the proposal may be approved. Our submission demonstrates that it is consistent with the expectations, the requirements, the objectives of the scheme and the signage policy. Commissioners have previously varied the standards and granted approvals under circumstances in many respects virtually identical to this. The plan that we present is consistent with the area of about 600 metres from the sign at 267 up to the sign at 190 Aberdeen Street, and we are not creating anything that's additional or new. We're consistent with what has been approved, and we'd ask for your support and approval for this application. Of course, I'm happy to respond to any questions if that's appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you have any questions, Commissioner?
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner Chair. To Mr. Kotsoglo, as well as the Acting Director, I'd be interested to understand a little bit more about the background and context to the other sign that's been referred to, which Council had previously apparently approved, I think, around this time last year.
Do we have someone who can respond to both of the issues outlined?
Through you, Chair. Actually, I will refer this to Manager of Development Approvals, who is more across the detail in this instance. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret.
Yes, thank you, through the Chair. The above roof variable LED advertising sign that was approved back in October last year by Council at 190 Aberdeen Street overlooks the entrance to the tunnel of the Graham Farmer Freeway. So it's visible from that particular traffic route, and its primary purpose is to attract the attention of motorists and passengers. The sign
sorry, through the chair, just to clarify, so that's for eastbound traffic, is it, that we're talking about?
That's correct, eastbound traffic coming through that tunnel, approaching from the Vincent side. It was not supported at an officer level on the basis of its sighting and location, the fact that it was primarily aimed at passing motorists, although there, albeit a small plaza area adjacent to the church in Fitzgerald Street nearby. The proportions of the sign compared to the 3-4 storey building on that corner, it exceeded the height limits for buildings in that particular location as well. And also the main roads, WA had provided similar advice as in this occasion, that they had concerns about the location of the sign and impact on traffic safety given their emerging lanes approaching that tunnel as well. However, that particular application was unanimously supported by the commissioners. We have issued a building permit, but main roads are still contesting its ability to be built on that site, and that's a separate process the applicant's pursuing.
Thank you. Any further questions?
Through you, Chair, I'll just reserve some commentary on that until we get to that item. Nothing further for the deputation.
Thank you very much. So we have a motion that refuses the application or recommendation that refuses the application. We've heard the deputation. We also are aware that there is a report that we haven't had the opportunity to review. I'm also cognizant, Commissioner, with you being new and not being part of the consideration of the precedent signs stated, that in the absence of a motion to move, I would, from the Chair, like to propose an alternate motion. But before I do, having flagged that, would somebody move the motion as it stands?
Through the Chair, for the purpose of discussion, to open debate on the matter, I'm happy to move it. Could I just get a point of clarification, perhaps from the CEO, that at any point throughout our discussion and deliberations on this, I'd be happy to move the motion for the sake of opening discussion on that item, but notwithstanding, if either Deputy Chair, Commissioner or myself then propose to move a procedural motion, that could intercept that debate under our relevant local laws, and that would run its own course should that transpire.
Through you, Deputy Chair, all you would need to do is withdraw the motion with the approval of the seconder at any stage.
Sorry, through the Chair then, that being the case, just as a point of clarification, then if the current recommendation or motion is not moved, the item then lapses, and will that be sufficient instruction, if you like, the absence of a council resolution on that, for the matter to be referred back to council for that further consideration? Because I'm just mindful from a planning viewpoint then, statutorily, council's absence in making a decision on the matter this evening, if that were to occur, does not constitute a planning decision.
Through you, Deputy Chair, I would encourage you, if the intent was to defer the motion for further consideration at another meeting, to actually resolve accordingly, and in particular outline any reasons or additional information that you're seeking to consider the matter at the next meeting.
Commissioner.
Thank you, Deputy Chair, Commissioner. Look, that being the case, for the reasons so eloquently put by the Chair earlier, my preference would be to defer consideration of this item pending a more comprehensive review of the additional information that's been submitted, as well as review of some of the precedent matters that have been referenced.
So you're moving an amended motion that we defer consideration of this item to a later meeting. So moved?
Yes.
Thank you, Commissioner. I am happy to second that motion from the Chair. Is there any discussion, Commissioner, from your part? No, I have no further discussion, except to reiterate that we have a report to further inform us, and we also, part of that a deputation related to a precedent set, and therefore, as we have a new commissioner who wasn't part of the consideration for that precedent that was cited for consideration, it appropriate that this be deferred to a later meeting. So all those in favour? So carried. Nil against. The next item for consideration is the business event sponsorship, item 13.4. Would somebody move the motion, please? And I'm happy to second it. Is there any discussion, Commissioner? Thank you. I have a point that I would like to raise. I think that I'm happy to support the recommendations, but I think the point that was made by the officers on page 98, this related to the sponsorship of a conference, was well made, and that that relates to the fact that this event has been running for some time, and that the city has continued to support what is a very successful and important event. But the officer's comment that after 10 years the event should be demonstrating a high level of financial sustainability is one that I think we should take on notice for consideration of future sponsorship in order to do a couple of things. One is, for a successful event, being able to leverage off that for sponsorship outside the city, in order to, and that benefit is that the city then has the capacity to consider supporting new seed funding, I suppose, new events in its absence. So without particularly referring to this particular one, it's more a comment of generality. So we have the motion moved and seconded, spoken to. Is there any further discussion, Commissioner? If not, all those in favour of item 13.4, nil against, motion is carried. Thank you. The next item for consideration is the Cultural Advisory Committee member nominations, item 13.6. Would somebody so move? Seconded from the Chair. Any discussion, Commissioner?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The only point I'd just like to make in relation to Officer Recommendation 3 and the nominees at Recommendation 3.2, both extremely distinguished, recognised Wajak Noongar elders and very respected in the WA community, Noel Nanup. It's stated Noel Nanup or Richard Wally. Just for the avoidance of doubt, to be clear that both of those are being proposed to be accepted and subject to their individual availability, given their busy schedules, that one or the other would hopefully be available to attend.
Thank you. My comments on this matter, this is a really important cultural advisory committee. I think the recommendations put forward are all very strong recommendations with respect to the criteria or composition and the individuals. I would like to, for the benefit of the minutes, suggest that the membership of this committee is for a term of 2 years and so therefore meets the local government electoral cycle. But future consideration, I think, would be best done with one revisiting after a period of time the attributes to drive the composition of the committee, and that any suggested nominees be put to council in camera, because this is a committee to advise council, not to advise the administration as such, and those names be considered in camera, and then the final recommendation be brought after consideration against criteria to council for approval. So if that could be recorded as an improvement going forward, in order to ensure that we continue to have a very strong, vibrant and well-governed governance around the selection. So is there any further discussion, Commissioner? If not, all those in favour? Nil against, motion carried. Thank you. Look forward to the input from that committee enormously. Moving to item 13.7, this relates to the public lighting framework. Would somebody so move? And seconded from the chair. Any discussion, Commissioner?
Through you, Deputy Chair, Commissioner, no, other than to say I think it's a great initiative. It was there was some good discussion and feedback on that item at the council briefing session last week, which I appreciate due to your Eastern States commitments representing the city you were unable to attend. But, yeah, look, I think it's a great strategy for the city to accept, and hopefully we'll be able to proactively guide our investment in this space.
Thank you. My discussion on this item is it's been a long time coming, originally being endorsed by the city in 2014, then supported May 2018, which related to East Perth, but of course this policy relates much more broadly across the broader CBD. So I'd like to congratulate the staff for expediting this. I would like to make the comment that, you know, this has to be driven around safety and amenity in the city with respect to its implementation. I note that attachment 13.7C is a schedule of priorities, and I'd like to encourage in the consideration of these priorities that they be informed as part of the resource allocation round with respect to safety and amenity and really addressing where the city's been found to be lacking in appropriate lighting. Would any member of the administration care to speak to this item in response to those comments?
Thank you, Deputy Chair. In relation to that, under page 132 of the agenda, under financial implications, the very resonates with what you've said in terms of the prioritisation of where we do, obviously funding and the integrated planning, and the prioritisation around the urgent areas. And I acknowledge that the first focus area of the framework actually is around that safety. And this framework provides us with the guide to help undertake our work into the future. So whilst in the agenda it identifies where we're looking at this financial year, which is already funded and then scheduled for next year, as new actions are identified, we are able to be agile enough where we can reprioritise our resources and funding to ensure that we can meet those requirements around safety as a priority.
Thank you, Mr. Harley. I'd like to, if there's no further discussion, put the motion. All those in favour? Nil against. Motion carried. Thank you. Okay. There was just one other comment I did omit to make. For the minutes, on page 218, there's some diagrams there that relate to the different approaches and arrangements for lighting for scenic drives, the City Avenue, Major City Street, and City Boulevard. Now, taking a major city street, this would have quite a 6.5 metre light pole, and the lighting that's demonstrated there is lighting from the light pole onto the road, where of course there are cars with lights, but no lighting down onto the pedestrian street, which is seems counterintuitive to me, but I am an accountant. So I'd like to encourage a street-by-street, precinct-by-precinct approach. And I recall Commissioner Hammond speak before that, especially where there's tree foliage, that it's important that where the light is meant to direct down onto the pavement, that it's not blocked out by foliage. And one response that I have seen in another capital city is that there's lighting onto the street, but then a lower branch off the same pole to illuminate the actual pedestrian walkway. So I think if we adopt a safety-first approach, knowing that cars and vehicles have their own lights and people don't, unless they're on a bike with a headlamp, if we really look at safety first and illuminating wherever we possibly can without taking away amenity of light spillage and what have you, then I think we'll go a long way to making our cities not only be safer but feel safer through illumination. So thank you very much for drawing that to my attention. It was something I'd taken up with management before. I feel really strongly about this. I think it's absolutely our responsibility that we implement any of these really good plans in a very effective way. If that means two arms on a pole instead of one, then I think there'd be strong support for that to come forward, even if it meant a resourcing issue. Any further comment on that? Thanks very much, Murray. Moving now to... I think we accepted that, didn't we? Moving now to the next item, which related to 13.9, the Achievers Club. Now, it says I have a revised officer recommendation on this. So the revised officer recommendation is that Council approves the unbudgeted capital works and operational expenditure of 63,300 $1,000.42 as outlined in attachment 13.9A. So the only difference that I can see is the actual amount included in the recommendation. Is that right, Mr. CEO? No, that was included. I'm just trying to see what's different. Approved. Would you like to speak to it, please, Mr. CEO?
The main addition to the item is the letter that has been received, where the three parties have now actually formally signed off on the acquittal of those funds.
Thank you. So I have before me for the minutes to the City of Perth from the Achievers Club President, Treasurer and Vice President regarding expenditure of funds in the City's trust account. It relates to the fact that at the meeting of the Achievers Club, it had confirmed agreement to expend the total sum of $95,755.92, which has been raised by the club and is remaining in the City's trust. The Achievers Club has agreed that the funds be expended on the items listed above. Now, those items add up to $95,755.92, which relates to the second part of the recommendation that that amount be moved from the City's trust account to the City Place Community Centre Municipal Account. And that was in addition to approving the unbudgeted capital works and operational expenditure of $63,342 to be recovered by refund from the Achievers Club Trust account. So, could someone take me through what this actually means, please?
Through you, Chair. The item was originally presented and our Project Director of Strategic Finance required further certification before he was recommending this item go before Commissioners. That certification has occurred, but if there's any further finance questions, it should go to Michael. If there's any questions relating to the expenditure at the Community Centre, then it should go to our General Manager of Community Development.
Thank you. So it was a process and governance suggestion. Thank you. So with that revised officer recommendation and the explanation provided, would somebody so move?
Sorry, through the chair. I'm happy to move, although I do just probably equally require some clarification on this, but for the purpose of discussion, happy to move.
And seconded. And your discussion, Commissioner?
Thank you, Deputy Chair Commissioner. Forgive me, this is probably the exact same question that you've just asked. Maybe I didn't understand the answer well enough. Just the revised officer recommendation says Council approves the unbudgeted capital works and operational expenditure of $63,342 as outlined in attachment 3.9A. So I look at attachment 3.9A in the hope of finding that figure somewhere, and I don't see it. So is the intent that I would then add some of the costs that are listed in the table in that attachment so that I reach that amount? Because that being the case, save me the guessing game. Can someone tell me what the costs are? And then the further question on that item is, at the council briefing session last week, I just raised an issue in relation to the trust provisions in the Local Government Act and the need for there to be some reference in this report stating that this recommendation complies with the provisions of the Act relating to management of trust accounts.
Michael, would you like to take this question? Thank you. Michael Kent.
Thank you. I think there's a couple of components to this question. In fact, at the briefing session, the concern was quite validly raised about the capacity to move these funds between a trust fund and the municipal fund. And the primary concern there was because the Achievers Club was not an incorporated body. If it were, it would have a constitution that would very clearly explain the way in which any funds would be dealt with on the winding up of the group. In this instance, because it was not an incorporated body, we then had to go back to the organisation and seek their approval, which is the reason why the city now is in possession of the letter signed by the three senior office bearers within the organisation. So in terms of process, the answer is yes, we have followed through all of the appropriate processes now to ensure that this is in fact a legitimate transfer of funds. In relation to the monetary values that have been mentioned, the $63,000, apologies, I'm doing this off the top of my head, relates to items that have actually already been purchased and paid for by the city, and it's simply seeking reimbursement. As I understand it, the remainder of the funds, the difference between the 95 odd thousand and that 63, is an amount of money that is, for want of a better terminology, being gifted to the city with the intention that in future it would be deployed to assist purchases within that facility.
Thank you, Mr. Kent. Commissioner.
Through you, Deputy Chair, Commissioner. I am struggling with this. In part, I accept the advice provided by Mr. Kent, although read in isolation, the report provides none of those clarifications. The recommendation refers to an amount of $63,300 as per attachment 13.9A. Then attachment 13.9A does not provide any of the type of clarification that we've just heard. So again, in the absence of any verbal explanation, and if this recommendation is adopted, the legal or statutory section of the report makes no reference to the Local Government Act trust provisions, which are entirely relevant in this particular case. I'm not saying this with any disrespect to the reporting officers, because I know from conversation with Mr. Kent that that this has been a matter that he's interrogated quite closely. But my strong preference would be that any decision made by council should be able to stand the test of time and on the papers before us, and I don't think this passes that test, with all due respect. Having said that, I would appreciate just understanding if there is any time imperative or sense of urgency surrounding this expenditure that would cause problems for the club or for the city if it were deferred.
Through you, Deputy Chair, there will be no problem for this to be deferred for 1 month, say to the October Council meeting, so that additional information can be provided and clarifications can be made.
Thank you, CEO. Commissioner, do you have an alternate motion?
Through you, Madam Deputy Chair, Commissioner, I would simply request that the matter be referred back to the October Council meeting for reconsideration, with additional information as discussed being included in a more comprehensive report. Whether the recommendation is unchanged, I think, is quite immaterial. If that's what the club and the officers have mutually accepted, then I'm sure that's the best outcome, but it's just the process.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm happy to second that motion. Is there any further discussion, Commissioner? Thank you. So we'll put the motion of deferment. All those in favour, nil against, carried. Thank you.
And through you, Madam Chair, just be clear on that. That means the original motion that was moved and seconded is effectively withdrawn.
Yep.
And the second one is now carried.
Thank you. Moving to item 13.12, Financial Systems and Process Transformation Project Budget. Would somebody so move? And seconded from the Chair. Any discussion, Commissioner? Thank you. I do have a comment and a question. I wonder if Mr. Kent would care to respond. My comment is that this is a substantial amount of money. I'm sorry, this relates to the... Sorry. 13.12. I beg your pardon, I'm just on the wrong agenda. Item 13.12, this is a substantial amount of money of $1.45 million. We've had a number of discussions around this and previous items, but Mr. Kent, given the materiality of this for the minutes, would you care to outline some background for the benefit of especially our new commissioner?
Absolutely, Deputy Chair Commissioner. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Whilst the report in itself is relatively simple in terms of transfer of money from a reserve fund back to the municipal fund, I think it is important to get some context around the project itself. So the city has, over a period of time, been getting a better understanding of its financial systems capability and its financial management approach, and it's fair to say that there is definitely an opportunity to reposition the city's finances and its financial management approach to set it up for the future. So there has been a financial systems and process transformation plan developed, which is a 2 to 3 year deliverable project. It incorporates 12 major initiatives covering a enterprise-wide financial system, service-based allocation, resource allocation model, new chart of accounts and reporting structures so that the reports better assist our decision makers to make well-informed decisions. It also impacts the approaches towards financial planning, both in a longer-term strategic context and on an annual budget process. There is around about 55,000 hours worth of staff effort involved in delivering the 12 initiatives, and the total project cost over the 3 years, including software licensing, support, acquisition of the licenses themselves, and all of the staff resource involved, is around about $7.5 million in total. The amount that's being requested in this particular report of $1.45 million is to allow us to secure the initial one-off licenses for this particular product. We've been in negotiation with the vendor for...
Thank you, Mr. Kent. Any questions, Commissioner?
Through you, Deputy Chair Commissioner, no questions other than to, I think, commend the initiative in the first instance of setting the funding aside for this purpose. And I can speak from past experience, this will be, every cent will be money well spent.
Thank you. So all those in favour? Nil against. Motion carried. Thank you very much for that further explanation. Mr. CEO, item 13.13, a late report has been submitted. Does Commissioner have a copy of this? Lynn, do you have a copy?
Through you, Deputy Chair Commissioner, I do. That's in relation to the payments from the Muni and Trust Funds,
that's
is that
correct,
right?
Yes. So on that basis, we note that the recommendation is that Council, in accordance with Regulation 13.1 of the Local Government Financial Management Regulations 1996, receives the list of payments made under the delegated authority for the month ended 31st of August 2019 and recorded in the minutes of the Council, the summary of which is as follows. and that totals $6,811,006.55. Would somebody so move? Thank you, Commissioner, and I'm happy to second from the Chair. Is there any further discussion on that item? If not, all those in favour? Nil against. Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. CEO. We've moved to item 14 now, motions of which previous notice has been given. Have any notices of motion been received?
No, Deputy Chair, Commissioner.
Any items under item 15, urgent business?
No, Deputy Chair, Commissioner.
On that basis, as there are no further items, I would like to thank everyone for their attendance here today. I'd like to thank the administration for preparation of the papers and taking on questions, and the ladies and gentlemen of the gallery for their interest and attendance. Thank you. I now declare the meeting closed. Good evening all.